withdrawing consent and delegitimizing the state. So two people I think are great at this. Michael Humer, professor at University of Boulder, Colorado, wrote The Problem of Political Authority, an examination on the right to rule and the duty to obey, where he just uses common sense morality, saying, is it okay if, look, Corbett Report is a great spot that has a lot of information and really benefits people. Is it okay if we force people to fund it against their will with the threat of caging them, even though it's a great source of educational information, no doubt there? Do we have the right to force people? Do we have the right to conscript them into working against their will, even if it is great? Well, no. And for the same reason.
Yes, we do. I'll write it on my magic piece of paper that you have to give me money to fund the Corbett Report, and that'll make it law.
Yeah, of course. No, not. Finally. Of course.
Justice at last. The other one is a gentleman named Larkin Rose, who I have had 10 hours of conversation with, literally, on this show, where he says it's important to apply yourself consistently to the state. For example, if you don't have the right to do something, how do you have the right to vote for a king or a president or a politician to do it on your behalf? If it's murder for you to do it, well, you joining a group called the military group and putting on camouflage, now it's okay? No, of course not. Neither is joining a group called Congress. My favorite solution that you have brought to the table, or not brought to the table, but you've really made light of, is laughing at tyrants. What is laughing at tyrants?
I'm so glad you brought that up, actually. Yes, I mean, we have to delegitimize, especially in the minds of people who still hold reverence for these sacred offices, we have to delegitimize the state and its role in society. And there are many ways to do that, and you've pointed out a couple of important ones there, through logic and reason and evidence and talking to people and moralizing and understanding the roots of what we believe and why we believe it. But human beings are not robots. We do not function simply on logic. You know, A plus B equals C goes in and the state doesn't exist anymore. That's generally not how it's going to happen. An incredibly effective, an incredibly powerful tool against tyranny is satirizing and mocking these would-be kings and emperors and gods among us who have these special powers. No, they are ordinary people. So actually, something that was exceptionally effective, I don't know what you were quoting at the very beginning, but calling these people Franklin and Winston and Joseph, rather than president or, you know, emperor, or giving them these titles and giving them reverence and full names. No, they're just men. They're just average men. And in fact, as Lovebody says, they don't even have the virility to bed the common woman kind of thing. These are objects of ridicule and satire, and that is an exceptionally important and effective way of delegitimizing the state in people's minds. That is the point of laughing at tyrants, and I'm glad you pointed that out, because I just recently reposted some of my old material, including some of my old satirizing material, just making fun of these politicians. And of course, inevitably, every time I ever do anything with satire, with mockery, with humor, oh, James, oh, why do you have to descend to this level? You're usually so rational. And no, this is an exceptionally important point and part of who we are as human beings, how we function, and an really important tool in our tool belt that we should not discard because, oh, we have to be perfectly reasonable and rational and make our arguments in formal logic at all times. No. We have to speak to people's understanding that has always existed. Satire has always been an exceptionally important part of undermining power structures, and that's why it is in every authoritarian structure, it is outlawed, it is banned, they try to get rid of it, they chop people's heads off for doing that. There is a reason for that, because it's an important way of undermining. I want to speak, while we're on solutions, also to an important point that Rothbard points out in his introduction, where he talks about the prime task of education, educating people about the real nature of the state, the government. But he puts it in an important light. He says the prime task of education, then, is not simply abstract insight into governmental errors in advancing the general welfare, but de-bamboozling the public on the entire nature and procedures of the despotic state. In that task, Lebwedi also speaks to us in his stress on the importance of a perceptive vanguard elite of libertarian and anti-statist intellectuals. The role of this cadre to grasp the essence of statism and to de-sanctify the state in the eyes and minds of the rest of the population is crucial to the potential success of any movement to bring about a free society. It becomes, therefore, a prime libertarian task to discover, coalesce, nurture, and advance its cadre, a task of which all too many libertarians remain completely ignorant. And unfortunately, I think as true today as when Rothbard penned those words many decades ago. And finally, while we're talking about the solution aspect of this, we have to get to another important point of the problem, as articulated, as I alluded to, in part three of this treatise, where he talks about another exceptionally important aspect of this. Yes, in order to defeat the tyrant, we have to make people stop desiring the tyranny. But why do they desire to live under tyranny? And he lays it out again in a very insightful passage where he says that it isn't just the tyrant himself. He says five or six have always had access to the tyrant's ear and have either gone to him of their own accord or else have been summoned by him to be accomplices in his cruelties, companions in his pleasures, pander to his lusts, and sharers in his plunders. These six manage their chief so successfully that he comes to be held accountable not only for his own misdeeds, but even for theirs. The six have 600 who profit under them, and with the 600 they do what they have accomplished with their tyrant. The 600 maintain under them 6,000, whom they promote in rank, upon whom they confer the government of provinces or the direction of finances, in order that they may serve as instruments of avarice and cruelty, executing orders at the proper time and working such havoc all around that they could not last except under the shadow of the 600, nor be exempt from law and punishment except through their influence. And then he talks about when this point is reached, through big favors or little ones, that large profits or small are obtained under a tyrant, there are found almost as many people to whom tyranny seems advantageous as those to whom liberty would seem desirable. And that is an exceptionally important point of this. I think this speaks to what G. Edward Griffin has articulated as the rings within rings way that secret societies function. No, not everyone involved in an organization like the CFR is all working towards some master plan for global government. No, but there is that central crew of people who have the ear of the king, the tyrant, whatever, in this case, maybe it's the U.S. Congress generally, but anyway, they have the ear, and they are whispering in that ear, and around them they have a larger group who directly depends on them for their sustenance, and around them there's an even larger group, and the rings expand, and a little bit less obviously falls from the table at each level, but somebody is getting something from each level of this system, and it expands and expands until it encompasses most of the society. And although you and I, and I'm sure many of the people listening to this audience, don't directly know a president, prime minister, whatever, emperor, but we probably do know people who are employed in state government or in provincial government or in some level of some part of the structure that benefits directly from the things that accrue from that trough of power, one way or another. Or we know someone who works in the defense industry or whatever it is. So there's a lot of people who get caught up in the system to the point where, as the old saying goes, you can't make someone believe something that their salary depends on them believing it. You know, whatever. You know the quote that I'm butchering here. But that's the point, yeah. There's a lot of people whose livelihoods, or at least the way they have structured their lives, depends on this tyrannical structure, and thus they are actually incentivized to keep it in place. So the real solution, then, is to incentivize the other side. No. The real incentive is liberty, is the destruction of that system. And how do we incentivize it? We don't do it simply by writing screeds against the government. We don't do it just by mocking or satirizing the government. Those are all tools. We should keep them in our tool belt and use them judiciously. But the real point is to create a system outside of that system of tyranny, outside, that people can directly experience the benefits from, i.e. agorism, the gray and the black markets, the things you are not supposed to be involved in. But look, people over there are thriving, while when there's a cataclysm that serves the benefits of the people in power who want a great reset, for example, and they declare a pandemic and say, you're not an essential worker, you have to stay home and you're unemployed now, ha ha ha,
You know, your business is gone, everything you've worked for your whole life. Oh, by the way, we're going to degrade the currency and you're going to have absolutely nothing to show for a lifetime of labor. Maybe then people will realize, oh, maybe I should be over in these gray and black markets working on these decentralized things that they don't have any control over. And I can work under the table directly for other people and directly experience the benefits of it. So an important point of the solution is not just ridicule, is not just anti-state. It's actually the building up of a different system entirely that people can experience those benefits from. Because until that exists, no one's going to step outside of the system that's keeping them alive.